You're going to want to take out your pens and papers right now because you're going to get a whole lot of information that's going to help you settle some stuff in your brain about what we're hearing on the news. Jackie Fearman lives in Montreal. She's with Ariel Ministries. She brings to us the perspective of the scriptures from a Jewish perspective. It's a Jewish book. We, as non-Jewish people reading the book, we put our goggles on and we read it. But you know what? There's this wonderful, beautiful layer that we miss because we don't have that Jewish background. And so anytime Jackie says, I'm going to be in your area, I'll say, we'll take her. Jackie, it's so good to have you here. Come on up. And we're happy to have you here. Why don't you welcome her, folks? It's good to have you. Make yourself at home. So good to have you here.
Thank you. Shalom, shalom. It's great to be here. Shalom means perfect peace. Some of you may know that shalom means peace, but you may not know it means whole and everything kind of peace. Certainly the peace in Israel was shattered the day after October 6th on October 7th. But even before that time, Pastor Bill invited me to come, and it's always been great to be here, so it's good to be back. I'll just tell you a word about who I am for people. How many people have never, ever seen me before? Raise your hand. There you go. Okay, most of you. All right. I was born in St. Louis, Missouri, which proves it, into a Jewish home, and got a Jewish education, and gratefully, I had two strong beliefs, and I hope you have at least the first one, which is the Bible is the Word of God. The words of God are in our scriptures. I hope you brought your scriptures, because we're going to take a tour from Genesis to Revelation, so be ready. If you don't have a Bible with you, then get out your phone or whatever screen you might have. I've got an iPad with me, because my Bible's too heavy to take on the plane. So, takes usually about 8 years for a Jewish person to come to faith in the Jewish Messiah, Jesus, or Yeshua, which is what his name is in Hebrew. But gratefully, it took only 4 years for me. And I became a believer when I was 17. Yes, my family basically threw me out, but that's another whole story that I'm not sharing with you this morning. I studied medical technology, so I did diagnostic laboratory testings in hospitals, and eventually ended up as a missionary in Haiti, in the Caribbean, and wanted to live and die there and spend the rest of my life there. God, you might know those words in your life, but God, and led me to a mission that needed me even more than where I had been, and they wanted me to learn French. I already spoke Creole. I didn't want to learn French. It was hard. No choice. So I dragged myself up to Quebec, a place I didn't know existed except for the Montreal Baseball Expos. But anyway, and basically I've been stuck in the snow 37 years is the story. I went up there in my 20s, and I'm 65 now, so you can do the math. But was not meant to go back to Haiti. I was meant to be in ministry in Quebec, where they were spiritually poor. And about 20 years ago, got attached to Ariel Ministries. It sounds like Ariel. It sounds like it's aviation, but it's not. Ari means lion, and El is one of God's names, so Ariel is Lion of God Ministries. And if you, by accident, got one of a special packet of brochures that is in French, and you don't read French, please give it back to me. Put it on the table, and they're English ones, and you can trade in, okay? So just to let you know, we are all around the planet, from China to India to Israel, of course, Germany, Hungary, Australia, New Zealand, anyway, I could go on. But I am the traveling representative for Canada, and it's my privilege to speak to you about what's going on in the Middle East, because you might, please, if you're watching CBC News, you will not get the truth. There are many other sources I can tell you about, whether it's Ynet News or All Israel News. If you want to write down those things at another time, come see me at the table after the service. Again, I'll be happy to direct you to truthful sources of news. But there certainly are a lot of untruthful ones out there. Now, we're going to see today that the Middle East crisis, what's going on right now, is very simple. It, you know, you might listen to commentators on this news source or that one or the other one, and they say it's very complex, you know, things here and there and whatever, but you're going to see it's really simple. It's really evil, but it's really simple. And so open your Bibles. We're going to start at the beginning. We're going to start in Genesis, and you're going to see the start of the Middle East conflict today. So in Genesis 3, verse 15, Genesis 3:15 is the very first messianic prophecy that we have. There were no Jews or Gentiles then. There was just Adam and Eve and the serpent in the garden. And after the sin of Adam and Eve, there are pronouncements made against each. And this is the pronouncement given to the serpent. And God says a word I don't use every day, enmity. I will put enmity, which is a hatred. It's a strong hatred. Enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring, he shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. Now, if you're driving in your pickup truck, because a lot of Albertans I see have pickup trucks, and you drive in your pickup truck over the head of a serpent, is it going to survive? No, it will not. So this is a pronouncement of death. Of the end of the serpent, although the serpent will bruise the heel of the seed of the woman. Who's the seed? Who's the only one on the whole planet who was ever born without a man? Jesus, right? You know, like in Sunday school, if you don't know the answer and you're a kid, you know, half the time if you say Jesus, you're right. So, okay, just giving you answers here. Okay, I didn't grow up in church, but I've heard that. Okay, so Satan, his first sin was what? Pride. Right? So if he says, if he hears you're going to die, his thinking is, oh, I can get around that. I'm not going to die. So what's the first thing he does? Well, I've got to get rid of that seed of the woman before it ever comes. And so I'm just going to pollute the entire human race. And so that's what he does in Genesis 6. I don't want to know how demonic DNA got into women. I don't want to know. It's probably horrendous. But all I know is that all except 8 people were polluted by it. Noah, Mrs. Noah, 3 sons, their wives. 8 people preserved in that ark, and God cleans out everything else and says, no, that seed is going to come. And now, the covenants are there are 8 covenants in scriptures, and that is how God interacts with us. Once you understand the covenants and who applies to whom and when, then you can understand, you can rightly divide the word of truth. You can rightly understand your Bible. So, the one that is basically the hinge in your Bible. Now, your Bible, you might think your Bible has a giant binder here, and it doesn't have another hinge, but it really does. And it's Genesis 12. So please turn to Genesis 12, and we're going to see the chapter in Scripture. Everything before Genesis 12 leads to Genesis 12. Genesis 13 to Revelation 22 come out of Genesis 12. That's how important it is. So let's look at Genesis 12, just the first 3 verses. And you're going to see how the whole world works, okay? Now, the Lord said to Abram, now, the Lord is in all in capitals maybe in your Bible. This is the covenant-keeping name of God. This is the 4 Hebrew letters, Yod, Heh, Vav, Heh, or you might have Adonai, you might have Jehovah in there, or just Lord in capitals. So this is a very important name. Said to Abram, because his name hadn't changed yet, go, 2 commandments, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land I will show you. And then he makes 3 promises. Now, some of you, I'm sure, know more than English. And in French, where I live in Quebec, we have a tu, which means you and only you, or a vous, which in Texas they would mean you all, you know, everybody, big plural you. And so these first 3 promises are made to the individual Abram, and the next 3 are to the you all, to everybody who's going to come from him. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob get the repetition of these same promises. I will make of you, Abram, a great nation. I will bless you, Abram, and make your name great. So that, now this looks like, it's not a command, but it is, be a blessing. It, you might see you will be a blessing, but it's go and be a blessing. And that's my prayer when I come to Calgary, that I go and that I am a blessing. I am to be a blessing. And now here's the you all ones. And this is to all Jewish people of all times. Who was a Jew? Well, you ask two Jews, you get three opinions, but all right. God says it's someone who is descended of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and the 12. Oops, well, we got 13 tribes because Joseph has a double blessing, Manasseh and Ephraim, so 13 tribes if you get that on your test. That's who a Jew is. Now, you can believe in Muhammad, you can believe in Buddha, you can be New Agers like those Jewish kids who were worshiping in front of a Buddha nearly in that concert in southern Israel when the massacre occurred. There are Jews all over the planet now, but it is your descendancy that makes you a Jew. You can be a Chinese Jew, you can be an Indian Jew. We have branches, Ariel China, Ariel India. Okay. So here's the you all blessings. I will bless those who bless you. Now see, that's plural. I will bless those. You didn't know it was grammar, did you, this morning? Okay. And him, the single person, who dishonors you, or you might have the word curse, I'll explain that, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So those are the plural ones to all the Jewish people. Now, I just want to explain, I will bless those who bless you. That's the exact same word in Hebrew. But the where it says, him who curses you, I will curse, it sounds the same in English, sounds the same in French. It is not. I will give you the Hebrew translation, and you can look it up if you don't believe me. But the one who treats you as unimportant, if you treat Israel as unimportant, or in this ESV, it's dishonor, that's the idea. I must totally wipe out and destroy. That's how God decides what to do with nations. And we're going to see exactly how that works. So that's down to the very individual who curses you. Ask Haman about it. Well, you won't see him, I hope so. You won't be able to ask him. So let's go back to, we have the beginning of animosity here because I didn't tell you that Esau was blessed or that Ishmael was blessed the same way. They didn't get these blessings. And that's the beginning of the opposition here going on. But again, it's Satan trying to get around having his head crushed. That's the whole theme. That's the whole theme. Okay. Now, so what happens? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob has sons. They go into Egypt. Then we get a Pharaoh who doesn't know Joseph, and he says, kill him, because Satan wants to make sure that seed does not come to crush his head, right? So if we just kill them all, there won't be any. So he starts by saying, okay, drown the Jewish baby boys. And then what happens? Well, we have 10 plagues. I'm going fast, but you know, you got to have a little bit of a background. And you can listen to this later because I think it's being filmed. So you can do that. Now, the last plague on Egypt was death of the firstborn. Remember that cursing? That's a cursing in kind. And guess who drowned? The Egyptian army. You tried to drown the boys. It's your boys who drown. That's the way God works. You do this to the Jews, this is what happens to you. Now, Egypt was a world power, and basically after that, it went down the toilet. That is God's economy, and that is the way, that's why Genesis 12 is that hinge in your Bible. Now, does anybody remember where the Ten Commandments are given, what chapter of the Bible? Oh, the toughie. What book? Exodus 20. Exodus 20. Now, in Exodus 19, I have a little bit of a time constraint, so I can't go over all the verses with you. But I'm going to look at Exodus 19. So just before he gives the 613, there's 613 laws, not 10, he explains who the Jews are. And so Exodus 19, verse 6, you can turn to that. Exodus 19, 6. It says who he is. And in fact, in the verse before, in verse 5, it says, you will be my segula, my treasured possession among all the peoples. I'm going to mention that later. So Israel is a treasured possession. And then verse 6 says, you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Single nation, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Gentiles are nations, like in my church. We counted pre-COVID, we had 44 different cultures represented. You know, that's what the church is supposed to be, right? All these different flavors and colors, and it's wonderful. But the Jews are one nation. And so before he gives the law, he says, this is who you are. You're going to be in charge of the law, and you are a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Now, with a special blessing comes great responsibility. Now, I tell Jewish people when I do evangelism, don't read Leviticus 26 or Deuteronomy 28 before you go to bed, because you're going to have nightmares. Because there are about this many blessings if you obey, and that many curses if you disobey. And they're horrible things. And so we're just going to look at a few of those, and you're going to hear what happened on October 7th. You're going to hear what happened in the Holocaust right here. Because God says he doesn't do anything without revealing it to his holy servants, the prophets, in Amos. We know that. That's why it's so important for you to study the prophets and to know what time period they're talking about. So in Deuteronomy 28, so turn to Deuteronomy if you have your Bibles, and we're going to look at, there are 60-some verses, we're going to look at just a few. Verse 37 is the first one we're going to look at. God says, this is during the cursing part of the chapter, which is this long, right? He said, you shall become a horror. A proverb, which we think proverbs are kind of nice, but this is not a good word in Hebrew. A byword among all the peoples where the Lord will drive you, because that's what happened. My ancestors went from Western Europe all the way to Eastern Europe. We were driven across Europe. Now skip down to verse 43. The sojourner who is among you, sounds like Palestinians to me, will rise higher and higher above you, and you shall come down lower and lower. And now let's go to the end of the chapter at verse 65, almost the end. And here we have the history of the Jewish people, especially in the last, 100 years, but more than that, really we've been driven out a long time. Among these nations, you will find no respite. There will be no resting place for the sole of your foot, but the Lord will give you there a trembling heart. Isn't that what they have right now, a trembling heart, many of them? Failing eyes and a languishing soul. Your life shall hang in doubt before you. That's certainly the case of those hostages, is it not? Night and day you will be in dread and have no assurance of your life. Isn't that what's going on? It is. And it certainly is shades of the Holocaust. Now, I could go over the many enemy armies against the, of course, we have David, the first king. Then we have, you think Saul was the first king? He was anointed with a little bitty flask of oil. But Samuel said, when you go anoint David, it's with a horn of oil. So God points out who the real king is. It's David. And then Solomon, then the kingdom is divided. Israel in the north, Judah in the south. We're going to see these two countries, two kingdoms in a moment. And zero good kings in the north, donut hole, and then in the south there are only a few. And so God used enemy armies to discipline his people. They're a covenant people. A Haitian woman asked me in a church in Quebec a few weeks ago, now what is the relationship between all of the strife going on in Haiti and what's going on in Israel? And I said, well, I love both, but God is not in covenant with the Haitian people, so there is nothing. There is no relationship. God is only in covenant. He's not in covenant with the U.S. I know they think that. You know, I tell people, I'm American by birth and Canadian by choice. So, Jackie, do you want to go back to the U.S.? No, I don't. There is no relationship. God does not have a covenant relationship with Switzerland or Liberia or Nepal, okay? It's with Israel. That's who his covenant is with, and that's why you need to understand Genesis 12. Now, you may not know geography much about where Edom is, but Israel is here, and Jordan is to the east, and so we have Ammon, the capital of Jordan is Ammon, same word, Moab, and then the south is Edom. But over history, Jewish rabbis have said anybody who's an enemy of Israel is called an Edomite. So even at the time of Jesus, they said the Romans were Edomites. Other times, they even said the church were Edomites because of the way they treated Jewish people. So Edomite, when you read about it, is actually an enemy of Israel. So let's turn to what God says about Edom in Ezekiel. So that's still in the major prophets, easier to find. Soon we're going to turn to a minor prophet, which I know you find by faith. Okay. So Ezekiel 35. Didn't know we were going to go on a tour of the whole Bible, did you? Okay. We're going to start out in verse 5. God pinpoints Edom and says, because you have had that everlasting hatred, your translation might say enmity. Oh, where did we see that enmity? Genesis 3:15, right? When's the first time it's repeated after Genesis 3:15? Right here in Ezekiel. Because you've had this, because where does that hatred come from in the Edomites? It's satanically energized. It is demonically driven. Because we're just going to kill all the Jews, Satan thinks. So that seed does not come. Jesus does not come. And his life is safe and his head is not going to be crushed. That's what it's all about. Okay. Because you've had this everlasting hatred and have shed the blood of the children of Israel by the power of the sword at the time of their calamity, therefore, when their iniquity came to an end, therefore as I live. And what's God's name? I am. So when he says, as I live, that you better take that seriously. I said, declares the Lord God, I will give you over to bloodshed. Bloodshed will pursue you since you didn't hate bloodshed, cursing and kind. You shed blood, your blood will be shed. That's the way it works. And then skip down to verse 10. Because you have said these two nations, those are the when Israel was divided, Israel in the north, Judah in the south. If you always have trouble remembering, Judah is that north, south, east, you know, whichever. Make a big giant J like for Jesus. Cut it in half, divided kingdom, and you get an I in the north, Israel, and a J in the south, Judah. So now you remember, you can teach your grandchildren, it's settled forever. Okay. It says, these two countries shall be mine. So what is Hamas saying in the news tonight? What is Hezbollah saying? What is Palestinian Islamic Jihad saying? What is Iran saying? It's mine. I claim that whole country. It's teeny-weeny, but they want it. And if you look at their flags, it covers all the territory of Israel. They don't give anything to Jewish people. They want them all out. But I say from the river to the sea, Israel will be free under King Messiah. Okay, it says, we will possess them, although the Lord was there. Therefore, as I live, there's that important way to say it, I will do according to your anger, cursing and kind. And according to the envy which you showed in your hatred, your enmity against them, I will make my name known among them when I judge you. They want the land of Israel. They say it's theirs. There it is. Now, in Ezekiel 36, the next chapter, they want the Temple Mount because these people want the two-state solution. They want Jerusalem to belong to other people. And this is where it's talked about right here. Verse 2, thus says the Lord God, because the enemy has said of you, aha, the ancient heights, Jerusalem's on a hill. Anybody here been to Israel? Okay, there'll be a few people. Okay, Jerusalem's on a mount, a hill. The ancient heights are our possession. See, they want Jerusalem. But they're on a very slippery slope, because if you look at verse 5 of chapter 6, it says, surely in the fire of my jealousy, I have spoken against the rest of the nations, all the nations, and against all Edom, who appropriated my land. It's not Israel's land, it's God's land, and he gives it to them. Who appropriated my land for themselves as a possession with wholehearted joy and with scorn of soul to drive it out for a prey. That's what they want to do. They want to drive out all the Jewish people. When they say from the river, that means the Jordan River to the sea, the Mediterranean Sea, they want it all. They want it absolutely all. Now, and by the way, if you think all these innocent Gazan citizens, well, 93% of the Gaza, of the citizens in Gaza hate Israel and admitted that they wanted Hamas to rule over them. So how many innocents truly are there? God knows, and it's not up to me to judge. Okay. Now, there were two But Israel is always going to be around, okay, even though they want it. Let's go to Jeremiah. So go back one prophet to Jeremiah 31. And, you know, they're trying to develop nuclear weapons in Iran. So God tells them, and Dr. Fruchtenbaum, the founder of the ministry, once gave a talk on how to destroy the Jewish people at a university. And a whole bunch of Muslims showed up. We want to destroy Israel. So here's the recipe right here. Jeremiah 31, verse 31 starts the new covenant, but we're going to go beyond that to verse 35. So Jeremiah 31, 35. So here's the way to destroy all of Israel, okay? Here's the recipe. Thus says the Lord, and that's the covenant-keeping name of God, again, all in caps, who gives the sun for light by day, and the fixed order of the moon and the stars for light by night, who stirs up the sea so that its waves roar. The Lord of hosts, Adonai Tzevaot, God of angel armies, right, is his name. If this fixed order departs from before me, declares the Lord. Okay, that's your recipe. Then shall the offspring of Israel cease from being a nation before me forever. And then he had something on. So, Iran, you got a nuclear weapon? Aim it at the sun. Aim it at the moon. Aim it at all the stars. Then we'll talk. Oh, no, there's another condition. Verse 37, thus says the Lord, if the heavens above can be measured, so measure all that for me. And the foundations of the earth below can be explored. Okay, and when you're done with the heavens, now measure below. Then I will cast off all the offspring of Israel for all that they have done. Because Israel is a basically disobedient nation now, declares the Lord. So that's how you destroy Israel. Anybody want to try? Don't recommend it. Okay. Now, because of their disobedience, the Jewish people were deported once to Babylon, and once by Rome. How else did I end up in Calgary, you know? I'm, you know, supposed to be living in Israel, right? So I, you know, am not living in my land. Now, when I first heard the term the times of the Gentiles, I thought, well, that's when more non-Jewish people believe in Jesus than Jewish people. But that's not it. So if you believe that, I get it. But that's not what God says. The times of the Gentiles mean when... Now, those who went to Israel, could you go up to the Temple Mount, where the Al-Aqsa Mosque and the Dome of the Rock is, and take your shofar and start blowing it and have a Jewish ceremony right there? No. Why? Not because the Waqf, the Jordanian authority, is in control of the Temple Mount. So ever since Babylon, Jewish people have never had full control over Jerusalem. You try and walk, I don't recommend you try and walk in East Jerusalem. It's a death wish. So, especially if you're wearing a Star of David like I am today, I would not get out of there alive. So, Jewish people do not control all of Jerusalem until when? We sang about it today, when King Jesus is ruling here on this earth for 1,000 years. So, between Babylon, 586 BC, and when Jesus will be reigning during the Messianic Kingdom, that's the time of the Gentiles. Okay? Now let's see when Jesus talks about it. Let's turn to Luke 21, and you're going to see what happened on October 7th. So Jesus talks about it in Luke chapter 21, verse 24. It's in the middle of a long speech. We're not going to go into it all, but Jesus says, "They will fall by the edge of the sword." Didn't that happen on October 7th? Yes, it did. "They will be led captive." Didn't that happen? Yes, it did. People say, "Oh, I know exactly what prophecy October 7th fulfilled." No, it's just another example of this statement. That's what happened. And Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles. See, Jerusalem is not under Jewish control until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled, which is when King Jesus comes to reign. My grandfather was a victim of exactly the kind of thing that happened on October 7th. My dad's dad, his parents were murdered. He was orphaned at the age of 10 by a pogrom, which is what happened on October 7th. It's a Russian word, which means the women are ravished, the men are slaughtered, they burn everything, they just destroy. And he threw himself in the river when he was 10 years old to kill himself, because at 10 years old he was desperate and had no parents and said, I just want to die and I can't swim. But God, there's another but God, fished him out. You know, a man saw him and pulled him out and said, here, this is, you're going to be an apprentice. This is your table. You can work on this table. You're going to learn to be a tailor. You're going to eat here. Maybe you're going to sleep here. This is your world right here now. And eventually, I guess, I don't know how he got enough money to go to the United States, but he did. But this is another example of the times of the Gentiles. So what happened October 7th? Another instance of the times of the Gentiles. And maybe some false teachers out there want to make some money by telling you, I can tell you another place in the Bible where this is the fulfillment of that. Don't believe it. It is not true. Okay. Now, let's go back to Satan's plot to get rid of the one who's going to crush his head, right? So after Babylon comes Persia, and who stays in Persia a little longer than they're supposed to? Well, Esther. Esther and Haman. Haman is not Jewish, but Esther is. And Haman wants to, because Mordecai doesn't bow down to him, he says, let's kill Haman. Now let's just kill all the Jews. Hear the words of Satan now. Hear the words of the enemy behind that. Kill them all. Then the seed of the woman, Jesus, can never be born. No more Jews left. You know? But guess who got God? Still, the Abrahamic covenant is universal and it's eternal. And it is it's unconditional. That's what I meant, not universal. Unconditional. So he wants to hang Haman, you think, like this? No. The word is impale. Impale. Mordecai. Haman wants to impale Mordecai, but who ends up impaled? Haman and his 10 sons. Abrahamic covenant. There's your hinge right again. Okay. Now, at the time of Hanukkah, which is in the Maccabees, which is intertestamental period, they didn't try to kill all the Jews, but they tried to cut us off from the word of God. That's spiritual death. They made it illegal to read the Bible. So, finally, Jesus does come. And what does Satan try to do? Drown all those baby boys again. Kill them. Herod. Who's Herod? He's an Edomite. Oh, by the way, Haman's an Edomite too. Quinky-dink? No, I don't believe in that. So, yes, the Edomites gave rise to the Amalekites and the Idumeans, and Herod was an Idumean. He was not a Jew. And so he's going to kill that seed before it can do what it's supposed to do. Doesn't work, does it? And then he tries to tempt Jesus, worship me, and that'll wreck everything. No, Jesus doesn't do it. Jesus does exactly, and then we'll knock him off a cliff before Passover, and he's going to die not the way he's supposed to, and then I'm safe, my head won't get crushed. Doesn't work. Doesn't work. It never works. Jesus comes and does exactly what he's supposed to do, when he's supposed to do it, how he's supposed to do it. Exactly. And then he rises from the dead. Hallelujah. Right? Okay. Now what? Now we're going to have another quiz question. What triggers the second coming of Jesus? Now, many churches have many creative answers. I'm not going to give you a chance to embarrass yourself in front of everybody. So let's turn to Matthew 23, because Jesus tells us exactly what the condition is for the second coming. What triggers the second coming of Jesus? It is Matthew 23, verse 37. It's the end of Jesus's earthly life. And he says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it, how often I would have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you weren't willing. See, your house is left to you desolate. That will be 40 years later when Rome comes and wipes everything out. For I tell you, here's the condition, listen up, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So what triggers Jesus coming back? When the Jewish people say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Now, this is all one book, and I'm a little limited on time. So, but if you want to see where it says exactly the same thing in Hosea, it's in there. It's one of the minor prophets, and right after the biggies, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea. So he's not too hard to find. Hosea 5:15 says, I will go away to my place. I will go back to where I came from. Well, where did God come from? God comes from heaven. When did he leave heaven? Ask a Jewish person that. That's a good question. Until they turn to me in their anguish. It's what I'm praying they're doing, the hostages right now, and other Jewish people, and you know, Gazans too, for that matter, but this prophecy is written to Jewish people. And then they turn to me, and how they turn to him is in Zechariah 12:10, where he says, you know, I'll pour out my spirit on the people, and they will look toward me who they have pierced. And they're going to recognize Jesus. So what does Satan think now? Now, he can't keep the seed of the woman from coming, right? He already came, fulfilled everything, died, resurrected. Now what? He's got to keep the Jews from praying, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. What if I wipe out every last Jew and there's none left to pray that prayer? My head is safe. I'm not going to have a head crushed. I got to kill them all. That's what he does. That's what he's doing right now. That's what he has been doing since he failed to get Jesus away from his mission. Let me just read you a couple of people who are considered church fathers. Anybody ever hear of John of Chrysostom? He's really famous in Quebec. They love him. They've got, you know, they call him saint and all this. And a very good orator. And I'll just summarize what he says. He says, the Jews sacrifice their children to Satan. They're worse than beasts. I'll save you some of the other details. Basically, he says, I hate the Jews because they violate the law. I hate the synagogue because it hates the law and the prophets. It is the duty of all Christians to hate the Jews. Straight from the mouth of Satan, is it not? Now we're going to jump ahead about 1,000 years to a man who's famous. You've heard of him, but I won't tell you who it is right away. And he said, all Jewish synagogues and schools have to be set on fire, destroy their prayer books, which is the word of God. Rabbis have to be forbidden to preach, burn all their homes, their property, make them slaves, and kill them. Who said that? Martin Luther said that. And a gasp came over the crowd, okay? He didn't start out that way. He started out by learning Hebrew from rabbis. And he said, if I just give them the gospel, they're all going to believe like that. And when they didn't, he said, kill them. And Hitler said, I can do that. Summary of history. When I put together this teaching, the news from the day before is that there were 100,000 people rioting in London, pro-Palestinian, who said, let's hunt and kill the Jews. 100,000 strong in London. I could go on, but the list would be way too long, and that's not, you know, what I'm here for. A New York Times journalist wrote, how great you are, Hitler. There have been incidents every day. The synagogue closest to me was firebombed. And then the Jewish charity across the street also had firebombs. Jewish schools are being shot up in Montreal. In Toronto, 2 days ago, they had to evacuate the largest Jewish school in Canada, in Toronto, with 1,000 students being evacuated because of a bomb threat. That's 1,000 students, maybe 1,000 mothers and fathers, and it's 3,000 plus extended family, plus the whole community of 140,000. That's going to scare a lot of Jewish people. That's what they want to do. I'm going to read you an excerpt from a book called Israel, the Inheritance of God. And that is exactly what we read in Exodus 19. And God says that, you know, she is a treasure and an inheritance. And the author says, I'm going to make this point. This is the way God looks at Israel. He treasures her. Then every believer, and he's not Jewish, is required to show Israel the same kind of appreciation. God will yet judge and purge and refine his chosen people, because guess what? The time of Jacob's trouble, the tribulation, it's not for the church. You've been purified by the blood of Jesus Christ. If you know him personally as your Savior, you are purified. You don't need to go through the purification of the tribulation at all. It's not called the time of the church's trouble. It's called the time of Jacob's trouble. Remember Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. And In Zechariah 13, verses 8 and 9, it says 2/3 of the Jewish people will die during the tribulation. You know how many that would be today if it happened? 10 million. 10 million. How many people are in Alberta? 4 million. Okay. There you go. So, it says, and he says, as far as the church is concerned, Israel ought to be cherished, not chided. Chided means criticized. Treasured, not trampled upon. Defended, not demonized. Comforted, not condemned. Provoked to jealousy, not to outrage. Driven to Jesus, not driven to despair. Tragically, he says, this is not happening in many parts of the church, and that is surely an offense to our God and Savior. Now, I could go through different nations of the world, their history, whether it's Egypt, Spain, Germany, Russia, the British Commonwealth, and say when they blessed Israel, they were blessed, and when they no longer did, even Canada, they were cursed. I could do that, but I'm not. Don't have the time for all that. But I want to end this part before I give you a brief history of what we're doing in Montreal to go back to Isaiah. Because what is our responsibility? We talked about the Prince of Peace. Somebody mentioned the Prince of Peace, Sar Shalom. We're to pray for the Prince of Peace, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. What does that mean today? Yes, you can pray that, you know, Jewish people are protected in this war. They're going to die, some of them. But you pray that the Prince of Peace comes to live in Jewish hearts. That's the only peace that is lasting. Jewish people today will say to me, well, Jackie, if Jesus was the Messiah, where's the peace? I said, in here, in here. He's going to bring peace for 1,000 years when he comes to reign. But he had to redeem us first. He had to die, shed his blood. He brings peace to you individually. Now, Isaiah says we are to, we saw in Genesis that we are to bless Israel. We also see that we are to pray for Israel. Isaiah 61, verses 6 and 7. Moira mentioned a section, a verse from a section that is addressed to Israel. In the Messianic kingdom. And here are shades of what we just heard in Exodus 19. You shall be called the priests of the Lord. Oh, didn't he say that just before he gave the 10 and 613 commandments? Yeah, he did. Yeah. You shall be called. That's in the Messianic kingdom. Today we're not doing such a great job. You shall be the ministers of our God. You shall eat the wealth of the nations, and in their glory you shall boast. Instead of your shame, there shall be a double portion. Instead of dishonor, they will rejoice in their lot. Therefore, in their land, they will possess a double portion, and they, the Jewish people, will have everlasting joy. Now, usually I like to read all of Isaiah 62 with the church, but I don't have time for that today. But here is what is addressed to you right now. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent, because you are not just supposed to bless Israel and pray for Israel. You are to defend Israel. Yes, there are people in there who are not following Jesus. I understand. 40% are secular right now, okay? Benjamin Netanyahu is not a believer in Jesus, the Messiah. But it doesn't say I'm only going to speak up if they are following God. Doesn't say that. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not be quiet until her righteousness goes forth as brightness and her salvation, which is her Jesus, her Yeshua, as a burning torch. The nations shall see your righteousness and all the kings your glory. You will be given a new name. You'll be a crown of beauty, a royal diadem. I mean, it goes on and on. It's beautiful. Now, a Jewish, an Israeli esthetician who does things for me, nice things, who doesn't know Jesus, says, people are coming to me now like during the Holocaust. And what was the big question that Jewish people asked after the Holocaust? It's the subtitle of a book that I helped actually title that we're publishing next month. Where was God? Now, maybe like me, you suffered abuse when you grew up. And maybe you have asked yourself that question, where was God? Here's your answer. Isaiah 63, verse 9. In all their affliction, he was afflicted. He was hurting too when you were hurting. Maybe you're hurting right now. He's hurting too. It doesn't say he will wipe it all out, but he's with you. And the angel of his presence, who is the angel of his presence? Remember, there's divine substance, angelic substance, human substance. The angel of his presence is not an angel. It means the angel of his presence is divine. The angel part just means what he does, which is the messenger, who's Jesus. Jesus, the angel of his presence, saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them. He lifted them and carried them all the days of old. So that is for you today, and I hope you better understand. Oh, we forgot. Where's the end? The end of all this? You want to know the end of anti-Semitism? Here you go, Revelation 20, verse 10. The devil who had deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur. End. Head crushed. End game. That's it. Yay! King of kings. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Okay, we could do the hallelujah chorus here. Yes, that's it. But what is Satan trying to do? Avoid that. So we're going to kill all the Jews. They're not going to say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We're going to get rid of him. So what is your job? Defend them. Defend them. Love them. Just like what I said. Now, one of the ways you can offer comfort to Jewish people, I didn't put them on the table because they're so pretty. I thought you'd all take one, and I only have a couple I can give out. But you can write to get more. We're calling these comfort cards. If you have a Jewish friend, a Jewish neighbor, a Jewish coworker, and you would like to comfort them, come to me, and I will offer you one of these. First come, first serve. And it has scriptures of promise of God's taking care of them. Now, what do I do? Well, I do exactly what I'm doing this morning. I travel, and in Montreal, we give out scriptures. We go door to door. Now, during COVID, you're going to kill me! We couldn't do that, right? So once the masks came off, but before they came off, we went into shopping centers where there would be grocery stores that had big kosher sections where Jewish people go to shop on Thursday so they can make their big meals for the Sabbath on Friday. And we would hand out materials. Hand out what? Well, there's something on rising anti-Semitism, and I have a whole bunch of these. And Valerie has done door-to-door here in Calgary, and she can help you find out how to witness to Jewish people. So, you know, I'll knock on the door. This is one in Russian, but I'll say, hi, I'm a volunteer with the Society for Distributing Hebrew Scriptures, and I would like to bless your home. And I have a Tanakh, which means an Old Testament, basically, in Hebrew and in English, or Hebrew and French, or this one's Hebrew and Russian. And I have something on the end of anti-Semitism. Now, I don't quote Revelation 20. They don't believe that, right? So I say, oh, I know about anti-Semitism. I go, yeah, I know. The end? Oh, when's it going to end? I said, well, do you believe in Mashiach, Messiah? Well, yeah, because most Jewish people, just like most people in the church today, sat on this part of the church, okay? This is a smaller part. This is a bigger part. Most of the Jewish people in Montreal are very religious. They're Orthodox. You want to know how many other places there are in North, Central, and South America like it? Zero other places. Montreal is the only place in all three Americas where most Jewish people are very religious. You meet somebody on the street, chances are they're very religious. Only place in all this, okay? So how are you going to recognize Mashiach when he comes? Well, I'll just know. Well, actually, God tells us. And on these bookmarks, and I only have a few, again, there are prophecies that tell us from this book what he's going to do, where he's going to be born, what he's going to be like, 9 of them. You can have that. And I put it in a really important chapter in Isaiah 53, which tells you all about the Messiah, and you can read it. And then I pull out my secret weapon from underneath, the little book. And I go, and here I have a Jewish book of Second Temple literature. Ooh, that has many prophecies fulfilled in it. It's called the Brit Hadashah in Hebrew. It is the New Testament. The Christian Bible? I say, it's so Jewish, you wouldn't believe it. You know, like the first book, Matthew, it's got 92 different quotes from this one. You could kind of do a word search and look for them all, because intellectual curiosity grabs them. Oh, you mean I can read that? I said, I give you permission. It's okay. Now, when I have come here in previous years, if we would go on an evening engagement with for 2 hours and we gave out maybe two of these sets, three sets, we were happy. Listen to me. Never in not just the history of the ministry, but I believe in the history of the world, are we giving out 12 in a night. I was taught, my generation, wherever your hand touches a New Testament, it will burn. So you try and hand them one. But now they're taking them. Dozens, thousands. We have no signs before the rapture, brothers and sisters, but we have signs of the end times. And though this isn't particularly listed, I believe we're getting really close. And we need prayer. We need prayer for this ministry. Now, I told you about the firebombings, right? Three, same day, three, same night, basically. The evil works at night, usually. Guess what neighborhood we just finished giving these to in the whole neighborhood on all the Jewish doors? That neighborhood. It's called Dorel des Homos, DDO, if you don't speak French. And it is considered the fastest growing Jewish neighborhood in all of North America. Quinky dink? No. No. That was God. Do you want to partner with us in what we're doing? There's a way. You're in a season of giving. That's great. We should always be giving. If you would like to join this ministry and partner with us, I'm looking for people who will partner with me on a regular basis. I need supporters. I am not given a salary. I don't receive a salary from anywhere. I live only by gifts that people like you and churches like yours give. I've been a believer 48 years, and let me tell you, God has proven himself to be true. Great is his faithfulness. I have never been out in the street, even though my parents threw me out when I became a believer. On these brochures, and if you have one in French again, come exchange it. There is a coupon that you can tear off. You can read about the ministry inside, and you can give a gift. You can designate your gift as a regular gift, and I can tell you different ways you can do it online or by check. That's the only way I live. I don't ask for anything when I come. I depend on God to provide for me, and he does, through people like you. So please consider that if the Lord puts it on your heart. There are envelopes. You can mail them in, and my name is mentioned on here if that is where you would like it to go. But please pray for the outreach, because it's a very important time. Very important time. Once again, if you need me to explain how to use some of the materials on my table, most of them on the right side are for evangelism. If you know Jewish people, it's not just a pretty thing to put on your coffee table, okay? So I hope this has been a blessing, because I was told to go and to be a blessing. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Jackie. We are a generation that was raised by media, and there's some good things about that. But the problem with media is that it left God out. And so you may have been raised in the church, or you may be brand new to the church and still not know the plan of God that he had for the whole world. And so we get into the media, we watch, and we sort of think, well, if it's on TV, it has to be true. But there are words that are being used in the story right now that is coming out of various media outlets that isn't true, that somehow Israel pushed the Palestinians off their land. Didn't happen. It's not true. And the place where you go for truth is here. And that's why we encourage you to read, why we try to help you get into it. And so that's where we need to be. Will you stand with me? Lots of you will leave this place this morning in turmoil. And that's okay. Because sometimes we need to be in turmoil. We need to wrestle. God, where are you in all of this? And again, you have to come to this book. Some of you will say, well, I didn't think that I was going to a church that hated people. Well, we don't hate people. We hate what the enemy does. We hate what the enemy does. I pray for people in the Gaza Strip. Pray, God, will you reveal yourself to them? I don't pray. I don't hate them. I want God to reveal himself to them. I pray for Israel because I'm instructed as a follower of Jesus. Bless, pray for. And so I know some of you will go out in turmoil today, and that's a good thing. Don't put that out. Get into the Word. Start studying. Ask for help. Father, we're so grateful that we come to the God who knows all of history. Before the foundations of the world were laid, you knew about October 7th, 2023. You knew about this day and about the people that would be here. You knew that Jackie would be here and that she'd stir up some questions and stir up some controversy and some problems in some hearts. And God, you knew all of that. And that's why you've called yourself the counselor, the one who holds the answers in his hand. And so, Father, I commit each heart, each mind, each life, each household to your care and keeping. I know this to be true, that if we seek you with all of our heart, you will be found of us. That if we open our hearts to you, you will speak. If we're still, we will know that you're God. And so, Father, for everyone who is struggling and wondering and questioning and has more questions than they have answers, will you show up in their life, we pray. Will that peace that we prayed for earlier today, will that come? In Jesus' name we pray. Bless each and every one. Thank you so much for Jackie, Father. Bless her in her comings and her goings, in her rising up and in her sitting down to study. Bless her. Be with her, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Jackie, if you want to go to...